This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Dr. Eric Sprinkle's on the line right now about the men withholding their sperm.
It's a long discussion why people are against masturbation. We saw this and realized we had to reach back out to Dr. Eric because we'd had him on the show, clinical psychologist, sex therapist. His book was his wonderfully weird history of science and masturbation. So I follow him on Instagram as well. Mm-hmm. And so even after interviewing him and having him on the show and reading his book, following along, he's got a great sense of humor. And
super good dude.
And yeah. A legitimate doc, right?
Yeah.
So this news article comes out.
Yeah, so they say masturbation abstinence is popular online. Studies show a thriving online landscape dedicated to helping men suppress the urge to masturbate. Many kinds of variations on how and why members of these communities choose to abstain from masturbation. One of the central concepts in these communities is known as NoFap, a play on a word for
masturbation.
Word for masturbation popularized on the notorious message boards. The term NoFap has come to encompass a set of unproven claims that not masturbating confers social and health benefits.
Yeah.
And from there, measuring the online and offline influence of NoFap content, a group of urologists who studied social media content found semen retention and its related hashtags to be the most popular men's health topic on TikTok and Instagram. They said, I've seen claims on social media saying that semen retention can boost your testosterone levels, cure ED, make you more manly, make you stronger, cure depression, make you more successful, clear your skin, according to one urologist. And there's no medical evidence that it does any of those things.
No, but just the idea idea of not ejaculating semen would boost your testosterone. By that theory, let's follow down the road. Every nerd incel in the world would be the most muscly bastard you ever met in your life. Like, they mm-hmm. would all be superhuman, right?
Every mm-hmm. dude playing Call of Duty in his mom's basement would be like a super warrior.
By the time I was 18, I'd have looked like a god. Now, well, I mean, you know, but I guess not, because I did masturbate all my strength. But Dr. Eric Sprinkle, let's get him on, man. Hold on.
Our next guest is a professor of clinical psychology at Minnesota State University, Mankato, as well as being a licensed clinical psychologist and certified sex therapist, who we first met through his book, DIY, The Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation. And today, he's here to talk about the NoFap movement, men who are actively abstaining from porn and masturbation, and its possible benefits or lack thereof. Please welcome Dr. Eric Sprinkle.
Hey, Doc, how have you been?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Listen, I it's weird because after the interview and reading your book and then following on Instagram, like, I feel like we're in some weird one-sided friendship where, like, I know far more about you, you know?
Right.
You, by the way, congratulations to you and credit to you for never backing down and always leaning into the weird stuff. Like, you definitely have a good time with online.
Yeah, it's unfortunate sometimes because it's definitely a lot of weirdos online, and like this whole NoFap stuff, semen retention, like the trending hashtags, you get down some rabbit holes on some of these social media sites, and it's pretty bleak.
Yeah, well, listen, incels are angry for a reason. Nobody loves right. them. They feel like the world is, it's a psychological thing, right? Like, so they're weird, they're socially awkward, they're angry, and then they got together in a group, and that created more group anger, and then they created their own weird little society of, like, you know, they're against us, and isn't it, they're all a bunch of bitches and whores because they give sex to other people, and at the end of the day, if these guys had love in their life and they were getting laid and they had some kind of a relationship, they wouldn't be this angry, I don't think. I don't think they'd all be hanging out in a basement typing weird, angry messages about bitches and whores to each other.
Right, and it's a lot more than just not having sex, because when you think about it, everyone's kind of an incel. I mean, if you're not having sex the moment that you want to be having sex, you're involuntarily being celibate in that moment. So I don't know what the duration has to be of celibacy in order to consider yourself an incel. But what's unique about being an incel, like how it's defined online, is this sense of entitlement that I should be having sex when I want to, with whomever I want to. And then that's where the anger comes from. Right. It's perceived injustice that they don't have a girlfriend or the type of girlfriend that they want. It's like, well, welcome to the club. You know, everybody is not 100% sexual satisfaction all the time. That's just life. That's why masturbation exists. But then they get angry at that.
Yeah. And now there's this new thing. And I've seen it go across, like, I don't know which one of those weirdo, half-wit militia guys. Like, I don't know if it was the Proud Boys that were against masturbation. And
Is
it those guys? But they were like...
It's a lot of them. It's the Proud Boys. It's Patriot Front. They all have kind of this anti-masturbation kind of creed that they adhere to.
If anybody ever needed to jerk off and relax, it's those nitwits.
I mean, for them, though, it goes into like this weird racist conspiracy of like white genocide, that if you masturbate, that's letting them, quote unquote, win, that you're going to get replaced. It makes you weak and docile, easy for your country to be taking over. It's like very conspiratorial.
Oh, because we're not making enough white people.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
okay.
A lot of anti-porn rhetoric comes from like anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about that you're actually reducing the sex drive of white men and getting white women attracted to non-white men, and therefore they're going to be bred out. And that's like their biggest fear, not making enough white racist babies for the next generation.
But that was, you know what? That's always been my theory about the Catholic Church, growing up Catholic and being an altar boy. And having that laid down on you, like, you know, masturbating is a sin, you go to hell, the whole bit. It did occur to you when you're an adult, like, well, why would you want to sell this to somebody? Oh, yeah, because if you're horny and you're not masturbating, you're more likely to get married, and you're not allowed to have sex before marriage. So, and you're not allowed to use birth control. What do all these things lead to? More Catholics.
Just creating little armies.
Yeah, and again, you know, it all makes sense. You know, when you add it together, you're like, oh, well, that's how you do it, right? You gotta improve your membership. So how do you do it? Well, it's only sex that makes babies. So there you go. You gotta talk them into only having sex with their wives with other Catholics.
Exactly. Yeah, all this anti-masturbation rhetoric is there's always this underlying motive to kind of sell you something, even if it's like sell you on an ideology. So it comes from a lot of different angles. There's a religious angle. There's like this kind of pseudoscience health angle right now with like semen retention, how semen has all these quote unquote vital nutrients that your body needs. And if you ejaculate, you're going to deplete yourself into an early grave. But that's really coming from, you know, these wellness influencers who are just grifters who are just trying to sell you some supplements.
Right. And so this goes back, I mean, a long way. Like there's a semi connect to it, like a tantric sex where you don't release, but that's different. Then you have the church angle, and then you have this has been around forever. This be healthy, don't masturbate thing, all the way back to, I just watched the movie again. It was based loosely on Kellogg's life, the guy who made cornflakes, because his thoughts on masturbation were mad. They were just glorious. He could pick a masturbator out of a crowd with your sallow skin and your sunken eyes.
Right. Kellogg was wild, and he was a legit physician, and he had, you know, a good practice in Michigan for some things, but his religious beliefs around masturbation made him just go in an insane direction when it comes to sexual health, especially like the sexual health of children, and what he called childhood masturbation, the foul orgies practiced by the little sinner. So he had very poetic language to demonize masturbation.
A foul orgy committed by a little sinner.
Yeah. There's a lifelong of masturbation guilt for that kid right there.
Oh, and so now you get these guys, and then the truth of the matter is, you being a doc, you'll know, I had read, and I'm sure I read it in a medical journal, that it was, as men grow older, those who don't masturbate or have sex, it is a higher, a higher rate of prostate cancer if you don't ejaculate.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of research that shows that relationship, it is just a relationship. It's not necessarily a cause effect. There could be a lot of other things that would lead to somebody to have a very active sex life and to also be at lower risk of prostate cancer. But certainly the inverse is not true, in the sense of the more that you abstain from masturbation or abstain from sex, somehow that's good for your prostate. There's no data to support that. So there's all this data that, at least correlationally, does support that, yeah, ejaculate frequently. It's actually related to better overall health. But, you know, the scientific data is not really well received by some of these guys online.
Well, and people are just so weird, right? All of us. And me too, of course. But there's a moment, hopefully, in your life that you kind of take a step back and look at the way everybody's built, just because of our need to procreate. It's what living creatures do. Every living, whether you're cellular or a complete person like us, or you're a wombat, like, you want to keep propagating your species. It's built into your very DNA. It's everything that you're told, right? So that's what the sex urge is. So now, you know, of course, there's emotional stuff and there's a lot else going on, but then that leads itself to masturbating. So why we have this weird view of it being bad? Like, that's crazy to me. How did it all end up that way?
Multiple directions. Essentially, it's how it's been viewed like this in the West for the past couple of hundred years. It is rooted in religious sexual guilt, that anything that is a sexual behavior outside of committed marriage for the purpose of procreation is considered a sin. That's a huge list. That's pretty much every sexual behavior imaginable, except for one. Masturbation is one of those. So it's not unique in that way, but it's considered a sexual sin. And these early physicians, once they really kind of started on kind of more of a disease model of understanding human bodies and how to treat it, they were still influenced by these religious beliefs. And so they still thought masturbation in particular, or any kind of sexual behavior outside of that very narrow definition of what's permissible, was somehow harmful to your body. They didn't back it up with any type of data or anything. It was just their belief. And since they were a respected physician, it caught on and people bought into it because they also had masturbation guilt. And so now it's coming from a doctor saying, like, yeah, don't do this, or you'll get tooth loss or violent belching or discharges from the anus, as some of these symptoms listed in some of these old medical books that say that you're going to get. But fast forward to today, we're still left with this masturbation guilt, and how this ties into kind of like this incel, these online communities, is that they combine their masturbation guilt with some type of either like body image disturbance or low self-esteem, or just generally their life isn't going the way that they hope for. And so then they scapegoat masturbation. Masturbation is the reason why I don't have the life that I want, and why I don't have bulging muscles, why I have the girlfriend, the good job, six-figure salary, all of that. And it's an easy buy-in because they already have that guilt about it, and it's something that's within their control 100%. So I just don't do this, and my life will improve.
Well, and if anybody doesn't notice, it always seems like the angry people. Like, it's never a happy world you're looking into. Whenever the anti-porn people, the anti-masturbation people, it's always an angry, angry message of just, it's a dark one, right? Like, you just look into that world and go, do they seem happy to you? Do these people seem happy? No, they aren't happy at all. That's not a happy person. Do you feel better? Hell, man. We used to joke about morning show radio. You'd go home and you'd have to crash for a little while because you got up early, and that would always lead to M&N, masturbate and nap. It would always be like... No, you have a sandwich, knock it out, sleep for an hour and a half, bam, you're a brand new man. You got the whole afternoon in front of you.
Absolutely. And most people feel that way. And that's the great thing about an orgasm, however you get it, masturbation or with a partner. The interesting thing about these guys who really believe that masturbation is going to be so detrimental to their health is it looks and it presents kind of like a somatic disorder presents. And so how most people feel and interpret an orgasm as leading to feelings of relaxation and being content and even satiated, they have those feelings, but they misinterpret it. They misinterpret it as feeling fatigued and amotivated and even addicted. And so then they think like, oh, see, it's actually very harmful for me because I feel totally like crap afterwards. And so it's like a very self-fulfilling prophecy, ironically.
Side note, so we've been doing this forever, like this little game. Like, and you talk about doctors and masturbation. There was a great movie, and I don't know how legit it was, but I really enjoyed it, called Hysteria. And I'm sure you've seen it. And it's about the doctor who created the first vibrators, who would masturbate women with melancholy. And they would go and they'd put a little curtain over their waist. And then he would manipulate their nether regions. And, of course, wealthy ladies could go to a doctor. And so they were pretty goddamn happy telling other women, like, this is pretty fun. Like, you know, the guys at home not getting it done. I actually own, and I bought it out of England, a 1902 Dr. Macora Pulsicon. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
I have it. Literally, it's in my living room in the original box with all the original literature.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun thing, not to burst the bubble on this a little bit, but that is just an urban legend that vibrators were invented to cure women's hysteria. Vibrators were originally invented for like only men's health. The inventor wanted nothing to do with women whatsoever. But what's interesting with any invention and how quickly it becomes sexualized. And there's a historian, her name's Dr. Kate Lister. She terms this the kink blink. That's the amount of time it takes for a new invention to start being sexualized. And that's usually done very, very quickly, like in a blink. So it's a kink blink. So even though the vibrator wasn't intentionally designed for sexual purposes, it was being ridden on pretty quickly after its invention. You know, we're as a species, we're pretty good at figuring out when something feels good. And people were hopping on this pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, it's the old chicken or the egg, right? Like, it gets invented for something else, but the second a girl's like, this is pretty great, we're all going to need one of these. And then everybody decides that they're going to grab one. And then you just start to make ones for that purpose, right? Like, you can't help it.
Yeah, like, the vibrator went through insurance. Yeah, it went through interesting phases in its history. The vibrator was being sold originally as like a medical device. And then later on, it was more of being sold as like a household appliance, like a vacuum cleaner was. It was like an ad, like everybody needs the latest vibrator. And we all knew like what people were using them for, but it was just viewed as a domestic appliance.
Sure. It is amazing. If you're just joining the show, by the way, Dr. Eric Sprankle, clinical psychologist, sex therapist, the book, Wonderfully Weird History of Science and Masturbation. Did you have any idea how big it would go, by the way? Because I've seen you all over online.
No, but it's fun. Like, I'm in L.A. right now doing some more promo. I had a photo shoot last night because I got interviewed for Hustler. That'll be in their December issue. Yeah, so that was like a childhood dream coming true to be in them. So that was a lot of fun. I have a podcast interview with a urologist right after this. So it's still kind of a whirlwind. So it's been a lot of fun to put this out in the world.
And I don't think we're ever going to get over the masturbation thing, Doc. I'll be honest. I think there's always going to be a segment of society that are the people, if it brings another person joy, they're going to tell you it's bad for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I come on some of these shows and I'm definitely a bummer and a pessimist because, if a sex educator is trying to interview me and, like, rally the truth, be like, yeah, we're going to get all this momentum and we can live in this sexual utopia. I'm like,
no, you can't.
I don't think so. Like, definitely not in our lifetime. Like, there's always going to be reactionaries who are going to be pushing back. It's always a push-pull. We may be ahead a little bit. That's why I say, like, sexual progressiveness is not linear. It's a lot of times two orgasms forward, one orgasm back. And so it's like... we're in a little bit of a back right now.
Listen,
but never going to be perfect.
I don't even want it to be fixed. I'll be honest, Doc. I know as a doctor you do. But listen, thank God for Catholicism. Otherwise, sex wouldn't be near as dirty and fun as I find it currently. You know what I mean?
Hey, I was a former altar boy, too. And I joke all the time. It's like, yeah, that's what the Catholic Church gave us the most. That was their biggest blessing, is to make sex a little dirty.
Yes.
And we have capitalized on that for our own benefit.
the good part of the dirty, right? Like, I want to have
exactly.
sex afterwards that you're like, oh, we did something wrong. We did something taboo. That's super fun, right? Like, so I want there to be a little bit of law breaking in it, you know, not legitimate law breaking, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. And
by the way, you were an altar boy. I never got touched. Did you?
No. Like, the worst thing that happened to me during Mass was just utter boredom.
Yeah, I feel like it hurt my self-esteem. Like, I was a good-looking kid.
right.
Like, I really was. I must have looked like I couldn't keep a secret, because nothing, absolutely nothing. But it's, again, go out and find this book, Wonderfully Weird History and Science of Masturbation. And so much stuff gets covered in your book. One of it is butt stuff. And so, F and G on the show, F and new guy, Kyle, had never seen jar squatter. So,
oh yeah, one man, one jar. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So he saw it. He saw it live on air, and we just aired his reaction to it this morning. Kids, yeah. Certain things are meant for it, and certain things aren't. Make sure that it's got some kind of a lanyard or a flange to keep it, and certainly don't use anything glass. These are all things you should write down if you're thinking about exploring your own butthole.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that you can do this safely and a lot of ways that you're going to end up being a case study in a medical journal and get written about in a book like mine.
Yeah, and you end up...
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that video, I remember seeing it like 20 years ago. We're talking about the exact same one. When you get that in there and you just hear that pop, it's like, okay, this is going to go bad very, very fast for him.
And the realization that it was 90% buried, and you're like, that means all the glass. And then I found myself looking to try to gauge how much glass was on the floor then, and I'm like, not enough. Yeah. And if you have to go to an ER with anything inside you, listen, nothing. And I mean, every person in the world that works in that business, I was a paramedic. Everybody knows nothing accidentally goes in your keister, kids.
No. Right. For the book, I was interviewing an ER physician. And yeah, she said that she has seen everything up there, pretty much every household object imaginable, everything that's been on a wedding registry. Her most memorable event was 20 Happy Meal toys somebody put up there. And so you're not accidentally falling on 20 Happy Meal toys. Like, this is very intentional, and it's for sexual purposes.
I read that.
If that happens to you, yeah, it's in the book. If that happens to you, just own it.
Yeah.
They have seen it before. Seek treatment, because that can be a very serious complication for you if you're too embarrassed to get to the ER. They're not going to care.
I had so many questions. I was like, did you get them all at one time? Did you buy 20 Happy Meals? Did you put them in there one at a time? Like, I had so many questions. I was like, why? And what is the weird, like, I don't know if I asked you this before, but we've talked about this in the show. I don't know exactly how to explain when a fetish is formed. And I thank God all the time that nothing weird happened to me, that I ended up with some weird foot thing or pee thing or poop thing. Like, just, you know, something that really does make your life a little difficult. But what do you think happened to that kid that as a kid he identifies a Happy Meal and the toy, and then somehow it got sexualized as a fetish?
Yeah, it's one of the most common questions sex educators give, like, where does this come from? And the disappointing answer is always, we have no idea. There's some behavioral theories out there, like it's classical conditioning or whatever, like Pavlov's dog or whatever. That can explain some of the fetishes people develop, but it doesn't fully explain everything. So ultimately, like, yeah, we don't really know where it comes from. That's why there are, like, pretty much everything can be fetishized. There's just, like, the more common ones that you hear about. But yeah, unfortunately, we don't really understand fully where it comes from. So the big thing is, it's just like, as long as, like, the fetish doesn't involve, like, hurting other people against their will or like stealing people's property. There are some, like, doing that, like stealing, like, panties and stuff from people's laundry hampers. So as long as it just involves you, then it's just about how can you do this safely. And the 20 Happy Meal toys is not the safest way, unless they all have pull-out strings. So that would take some pre-planning on the person's part. But it can be done safely.
By the way, the book, I'm telling you, I don't know who to give it to as a gift, but it's just it's such a funny and good and informational, you know, like, listen, it's a subject that so many people are uncomfortable with. You really did a great job writing and keeping it genuine, real, funny, interesting, truthful, and just above board. I think you're doing a great job, Doc.
I appreciate that so much.
And again, man, I follow you on Instagram. Everybody should find Dr. Eric Sprankle, Sprankle. He is online, and again, follow him, because every day is a new subject and it always gets interesting. So anytime. I appreciate you always coming by when we ask.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, see you, Doc. Bye, Eric. Hey. Yeah, the book's got a lot of weird stuff in it. And so at the end of that discussion, we're no closer to knowing why incels are wanting you to that, why militias are saying don't masturbate, other than, you know, it makes sense. Don't masturbate because the heart of it is we want more of us than we want of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, certainly that, you could argue it all day, but there's no doubt in my mind, as a Catholic, growing up Catholic, still being a Catholic, you know, the whole ideology of don't masturbate and don't have sex till you're married, what does that lead you to? Oh, yeah. And by the way, we want you to only marry a Catholic. They have to convert, right? If you want to stay Catholic. What does that mean? More Catholics.
You can't divorce either.
That's right, because you don't have less Catholics. You have to have more Catholics. That's why birth control is bad. Because even after you're married, birth control is bad.
Yeah, you can even have a couple kids.
No, you have to have all the kids. Yep. You got to have lots of kids, man. Yeah, so also, don't stick glass in your butt.
I did it again. Fell down and something went right up my butt. How does this happen? No, I didn't willingly stick that thing up my butt. It was just an accident.
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.